Okay, so this is Galen Joseph Hunter. I'm the executive director of Free 103.9, and I am talking with Gabriel Farrell, who works as a library systems developer at Drexel University. But more pertinent to our conversation is that Gabe has worked with Free 103.9 for almost 7 years in all kinds of ways, almost exclusively volunteer-based, helping us get our archives and our online presence up to snuff. So hi, Gabe.
Hi.
Thanks for talking with us today, talking with me today.
Yeah, I'm glad to do so.
So this is a really well-timed conversation. Not only did we, of course, just launch a newly designed Transmission Arts Archive, but we are in the early stages of celebrating Free 103.9's 15th anniversary year. And this conversation, I hope, will be broadcast on our radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM, as part of a special anniversary broadcast. So I'm glad we were able to find time to speak today.
Yeah.
Let's give our listeners maybe a bit of history first. So I think you started working with Free 103.9 back in 2005. Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
And the first project, you came on board with an interest to help with our online audio archives. Is that accurate?
Yeah, you had a website up at the time, and it didn't have much in the way of the history of Free 103.9, all of the recorded audio and images and things that you had collected along the way. So I tried to create a little framework for putting those up online so that other people could see them and hear them.
And I think that was a really important project for us, and I think it started Free 103.9's reputation for being this kind of rich archive that people could really get lost in and make new discoveries. And so that was really a huge benefit. So thank you.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit? I don't know how much you want to talk about past frameworks or technologies. Is it useful to talk a little bit about what that project was based in terms of technology? Does that, or is that obsolete as far as you're concerned?
It is hard to remember back that far in technology years, because everything has changed so much even since 2005. But let me give a little bit more of the history there. Is that I was still in library school at the time, so I was very excited to apply some of my newfound knowledge around digital archives and some of what was going on in the field at that time. I remember that I tried to stick to a number of specifications around digital archives, like METS, M-E-T-S, and MODS, M-O-D-S, which are standards in the library and archives fields that allowed us to potentially share information with others. But I think the first implementation of that was, let me think. I think the first implementation was in a framework that we ended up doing the rest of the sites in. So it was it's called Django, which is a Python web framework. It's still very popular in the larger web development world. It allows for a large degree of customization in building a site, setting up the database backend for the site, and, of course, the front-end interface in the admin, the entry, the data entry, the input for various data, the what became our pretty central types of things that are in the collection for Free 103.9 and the Transmission Arts Collection, as it's known now. Various media like audio, video, visual, images. And then, of course, the display for the public, how we display and search through those various types of objects.
And do you think it's valuable to talk a little bit about some of the, I don't know, like the ideology behind Django and Python and the different frameworks that you choose to work in? These are all open source, right? And everything you're doing is very public.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. Yeah, I guess I don't even think to mention it because it's just so ingrained in what I do at this point.
I think sometimes people ask me, like, oh, should we look to something like WordPress for this part of a website? And we do use WordPress, we being Free103.9 and WGXE for our newsroom blogs, but I try to explain how advanced the rest of our sites are and how, in addition to functionality, that there's a philosophy driving the choices that you've made, and I don't know that I do that well. So maybe through this conversation, you can teach me how to answer that question and tell our listeners a bit more about that.
Well, I don't know if I always do it that well, but I'll try to do my best. WordPress is great, and WordPress, as you know, is also open source, and there are lots of modules, and people add to it all the time. But for something as customized as a lot of the data needs for Free 103 and the various archives, it's a lot easier for a developer like me to work with a framework like Django. The main philosophical difference there is there are kind of two big camps in web development these days. One of them is the CMS, the Content Management System, and WordPress and Drupal and a whole slew of more proprietary products fall into that camp of the CMS. And while the CMSs allow you to get a site up quickly, running to have a blog and pages and some themes and that kind of thing, they're great for that. And I use them. I just today met with a client where they needed to get a site up quickly, and they'll probably go with WordPress because it works well if you have a site that's pretty straightforward and you don't need a lot of customization, a lot of, something that there's this also kind of falls in line with the difference between websites and web apps. One, if you have what would be considered a fairly straightforward website, again, maybe you need a blog, an about page, something like that, then WordPress is great. Or Drupal is very good at specific kinds of organizations that, and again, Drupal is also very expandable and stuff, but then once you get into the customization that something like a web app would call for, where with Free 103 we have, a lot of interlinking between these different kinds of data. I'll wait to talk about that in a minute. Maybe we can move forward in the history at some point in our conversation here. But with something like Free 103.9, for me as a developer, it's a lot easier to customize and really create a site from the ground up with something like Django. Django is also similar to Rails, which is probably the most popular web framework at this point. Again, the differences between web frameworks and content management systems. A framework, rather than you push a button and the whole site is up and running, or you know, click the little install link for WordPress or whatever it is. With a web framework, you're given a suite of tools as a web developer that you can then build a site with. And while that takes more work up front, it ends up being more configurable. There's less to get in your way later on.
Okay. So then, yeah, let's jump forward a little bit. We most recently, I guess we could say, migrated from, or we're still in the process, technically, migrating from the Django Python setup, right?
Yeah, let's not go quite that far forward yet.
Not that far? Where should we go next?
So we started out with the archive, and it was just the digital archive. And then I guess you guys liked that okay because you got me more involved. And we did the whole Free 103.9 website. And I should mention that I worked on that with a friend of mine, a designer and programmer here in Philadelphia by the name of Mike Ball. And we did the free 103.9.org website also in Django, and we moved the whole archive, the digital archive, to that site. And again, we were following best practices in the library world. By this time I was working as a full-time librarian and librarian systems developer position that I'm in now. So I had a little better idea of how these things would work together, of where what made sense for a site of the size and scope of Free 103.9. Most of the, you know, our information is very transparent, I guess you could say, as far as the website goes. It's very clear where. Well, let me mention that I mentioned earlier we have our media types, you know, our images, our videos, our text, you know, flyers and PDFs and that kind of thing, and of course all of the audio. But then we also have our kind of more not so much the media objects, but all of these chunks of metadata that are very important for really talking about the collection that free103.9.org has, or free103.9 has, and which is now transmissions.org, transmissionarts.org, and wgxc.org, which we'll get into in a minute. But that all kind of coalesced around three main types of data, which are artists, works, and events. And those three types really kind of shaped the way that I thought about the collection and the way that we've moved forward since then. Obviously, the artists are very important to Free 103.9's history and going forward into the future. So having a clear catalog of all of these various artists that Free 103.9 has worked with over the years, and how they link to various events in the history of Free 103.9, and you know, all the different performances that have been put on, as well as the works that have been displayed at those performances or performed there, and works that have come into the collection at Free 103.9 in a variety of ways. Am I missing anything there that strikes you?
I don't think so. That was a good summary.
Okay, good. So that was the Free 103.9.org website. And then
And that was 2007, I'm pretty sure, right? It was actually the 10th anniversary, which I just realizing now that we seem to be doing these big pushes around the anniversaries, which is
yeah. I can't believe that was 5 years ago already. That's yeah. Wow. yeah. So the free103.9.org website was that first push into this Django framework, and then a few years ago when you guys were very fortunate and just put such an incredible amount of effort into getting the WGXC license and creating that station, and we decided to do a website for WGXC. We did that in Django as well, since it would be sharing a lot of the data with the original Free 103.9. A lot of those artists would be the same. We could use the same event framework. And there seemed to be enough overlap that it really made sense to keep the management of all that data in one place. It meant that your staff and other people putting in the data would, there'd be less of a hurdle as they moved to working with more of the WGXC data. So that really made sense at the time to use the same framework for WGXC.org, and we did that.
Exactly.
I guess that would have been in 2009, 2010?
Yep, I think so.
Yeah.
This WGXC launched its online stream in May of 2009, so I think we were pushing forward on the website right about that time.
Yeah. So I want to make sure I'm not skipping over any like important pieces that seem obvious to me. But if we move forward to the most recent implementations, iterations, as we say in developer speak, the most recent round of websites that we've done as an organization that I've been lucky to be involved in with you guys, we redid the free103.9.org website. We've recast that as a more of like a organizational umbrella for transmissionarts.org and WGXC.org. Would you say that's correct?
Exactly, yeah. And we should probably mention that the work we did most recently was informed by, the research and developing part of it was made possible because of a technical assistance grant from Experimental Television Center.
Yes. And I'd like to thank Anthony
Katz from Sorted, who did a lot of the design visioning.
Yeah. Yeah. So we worked with him on doing some design. And he did some great design work for the new 303.9.org and transmissionarts.org sites. And we've made another technological shift with those sites as well. While I felt that the Django framework worked really well for us in previous versions of the sites, there was still a little bit holding us back. So in a way, we've gotten even one step further removed from these content management sites. And this is really kind of the way that a lot of organizations go. I think, especially if we've got a bigger organization that has a lot of development funding, I think we went that way just because I've been working with you for so long and I enjoy working on these sites so much because they allow me to try things that I don't have the opportunity to try in other development work because we have a level of trust that you don't get unless you've been working with someone for 6 years. But we've moved. I'm still using a framework, but it's an even less constructed or less limited framework than the Django framework. Whereas before, those sites were, again, in Django, which is spelled D-J-A-N-G-O for those following along at home, for anybody who wants to look it up. We've moved to some really exciting new technology, which is Node.js. It's a server-side JavaScript. It's really a fully new programming environment that's all JavaScript, which is nice for me because a lot of front-end programming, a lot of the programming in your client to, you know, add really nice user interface functionality for the front of the site, stuff that happens in your browser is being done in JavaScript. And now I can program in JavaScript on the back end as well. And that makes it easier for me to do certain things. And then I'm working as well with a new data layer or a new database that's holding all of our data. And that's called Elasticsearch. And that is
The name of the database, Elasticsearch?
Yeah. And that is a pretty new entry into the field of databases. A lot of people wouldn't even recognize it as a database because it's mostly a search engine. It allows us to do full-text searching across all of our different data types. But it's also storing our data right in there. And it makes it so that we can very easily put up a search box and have some pretty advanced functionality within that search box. And there's more of that to come in the site.
Does something like Elasticsearch mean that identifying meta tags or keywords for searching becomes completely unnecessary? Or is that still useful in a way to direct searches?
I mean, the keywords could still be useful if you were using them in the way that, say, Gmail uses labels, so that you could kind of categorize them by those keywords. If you wanted if you wanted to pull everything into, I think we're moving toward for some of our data types having categories.
Right.
And
exactly right.
That could still be useful for displaying everything of a certain type on a certain page, or making it so that people can pull up all of the. I forget what some of our categories are now, but I think we have some around events and, you know, all of the certain
kinds
of
anything that's like a transmission artwork that's specifically intended for radio broadcast or television broadcast or.
Yeah, that's one of them. That's a great example. And another, an added benefit of both Node.js and Elasticsearch is that we're running all of this on virtual private servers. VPS is the shorthand for that. On Linode.com is a company that I've been using for a while. They're a hosting company for these VPSs. And they're great because we get a lot of flexibility to do this kind of experimentation with newer technologies in setting up these websites. And this new technology allows us to run this whole site on a pretty small VPS. Your standard laptop these days has, you know, probably, you know, 200 to 500 gigs of storage in the hard drive, and somewhere between 2 and 8 gigs of RAM in the memory. And we're running the whole site on something around between 300 and 400 megabytes of memory, and probably in the realm of maybe 2 gigs of storage.
Wow.
I'm sorry if that's getting a little too much in the numbers and the techie stuff. But it makes
That's
a
okay.
difference as far as making the whole application structure lighter so that we don't have to pay as much in hosting and everything costs less.
And I assume that also helps with speed on a user end, or no?
Yes, that's another big benefit that we get from. It's not directly related to that, and in fact, good portion of that memory that we're using is makes it so that the more memory that you use in general, the faster your site can be. But we're using that memory smartly. If I get, I'll try not to get too annoyingly, boringly technical. I'm used to talking to my friends about this stuff, and they just kind of turn off as soon as I go into it. But I'm using the Nginx web server in front of Node.js, which I mentioned earlier, and Elasticsearch. And the three of those combined are all made to handle highly available websites. So, I've been really impressed as we've moved the sites to these new to especially Node.js, but Elasticsearch really complements it well. If you go to the transmissionarts.org website, if you click on some of those pages, it's a really fast. At least where I'm in Philadelphia, has it been pretty fast for you guys up there as well?
It has, yeah.
Yeah,
Wonderfully so.
the pages really load very quickly, and that's because the whole framework from the web server on up is really geared towards a very fast delivery of those pages.
And the search results return is also so impressively fast. And I know you were showing off some of the capability of Elasticsearch to me by having me put like title, what is it? Is it title colon? And then the actual content
Yeah,
that
you can do a little bit of
specifies.
what we call in library land, at least, power searching, where you put the names of the fields in there with like title colon radio or something, and then you'd only pull back items with radio in the title, as opposed
I
to
keep
radio
thinking
in
we
the
should
description
maybe
or something like
do a
that.
little shorthand instructions for people so that they
Yeah, it
would
would
know
also
that that's
be.
possible.
Yeah, I like the power search. I like having it there just because, even Google has a few of these things that if you don't know about them, you never even realize they're there. But if you do, then you can really tweak your search in cool ways. Like, well, with Google, there's a site, I guess you'd call it the site field or the site command within the search. So you can say site colon 3103.9.org and then a search, and it will search in Google but only within that site.
Right, yeah. I've used that.
So it's
I think we actually had that search working for Free 103 on the last site, didn't we?
right. That's actually a good point to address for a second, is that you can get a lot of this functionality from just setting up a what's called the Google Site Search, which is usually an ad-supported Google search over your site, in which Google indexes the site. They've got, stored cached versions of all the pages in your site on their servers, but you can, kind of embed it in your site and then search over things. And that's what we've done in the past. But with Elasticsearch, with having that whole search engine and the index locally, and having that be our what's called a single point of truth as far as our data goes, means we just have that one version of the data that we know we're going to get the same kind of results every time, no matter if we're going to it from the list of artists page or through the search and through our search box. It allows us to customize that a lot more. Allows us to have these kinds of power searching that you talked about, so that if someone only wanted to pull back things with radio in the title, they could do that. And beyond the power search having, some kind of help text, which I think within, I think Google does it well in that I think they've got, some kind of help page, or occasionally you'll see, like in Gmail, if you click on, I hate to sound like a Google fanboy, but they do a lot of things pretty well. if you click on one of your labels in Gmail, you'll see up in the search box, it'll say label colon and then the name of the label. And then you can
Right. I
just
think that
add.
might be pretty recent, or maybe it's just I've noticed it since I've started using Chrome, which is only in the recent past for me personally. But they give you some hints that way, which is nice.
Right. Exactly. And I think hinting is the right way to go. We could also, we will also add some more kind of conventional, I guess, or more expected, like advanced search functionality onto those search pages where you can just check a box to filter by certain kinds of events or that kind of thing, which I think is just a lot more obvious to most people.
So we've launched the public side of the new free103.9.org site and transmissionarts, that's plural, .org. And we're still in progress on updating the administrative interface, which I'm only learning from our conversation today, we would not refer to as CMS. I think I was under the impression that backends or administrative sides of most sites could be referred to that way, but in fact, that's completely wrong, isn't it?
I wouldn't say it's completely wrong. I mean, in a sense, what we're building is still a content management system because you are managing the content. But it didn't come to us as a CMS. It's not an off-the-shelf CMS, I guess, is what
Okay.
they would say.
What would you, how would, what language is appropriate?
Gosh, it's also vague and overloaded that, everybody's constantly using the same terms to talk about different things. But I usually stick with either admin or, in the case of 3103.9, the staff side interface. And then the public side, which again is also kind of, I think, just because of my involvement in the library world, we tend to think of staff side and public side as the part that the public can't see.
Well, that's
But
wonderfully clear too, and not at all, full of obscure technical references.
okay, good. yeah, so we're doing a little bit of a juggle right now because I haven't moved everything to this new framework where everything's in Elasticsearch. We're still right now we're still kind of straddling the older system, which is the Django's database, which is PostgreSQL, which is a very common database out there, and the new system. So for now, everything is still being kept in Django, and that's where the management is happening. And we're pulling from that, feeding the new sites on a very regular basis. So that's a bit of a juggle right now. And once I, because I'm still writing some of the admin staff side, as you said. And once we move over to that, and we move the WGXC.org site over to the new system, then everything will just be in that new system, and we won't have to be juggling the data back and forth. For now, I mentioned single point of truth earlier. For now, our single point of truth, or our trusted data, is still in that Django database. And the Elasticsearch is just a copy of that. But as we move forward, what's in Elasticsearch will be our trusted data, and we won't have to use the old database at all anymore.
Well, I'm super anxious and interested in seeing what that new admin interface will look like. I imagine it's going to be improved.
Again, I'm definitely not saying that there's anything wrong with the Django admin, but because the Django admin is, if anything, is the closest that Django comes to a CMS, in that it's kind of built into Django. Rails, the other big web framework, or the bigger web framework as far as market share, I guess, doesn't have a built-in admin. It has a couple of some modules that will help you with that, but Django the admin, just based on how you model your data, kind of generates itself. And that's great, and it has, that's what allowed us to have these sites up and running, and has been, you've been pretty happy with it over the past 5 years, I assume.
Yeah, very happy.
We've made a couple of changes to it, but for the most part, it's been great. There are a couple of points, especially in the way that, because so much of our data is interrelated, because artists relate to works, relate to audio, and there are so many links between them. I think we could make that admin interface even better as far as linking those things together,
mm-hmm.
as far as making it so that it's as easy as possible to enter new data and to update the data that's already there.
Excuse me.
There's one more part of this that I want to mention.
Absolutely.
And it goes back to what I was saying before about the how light our whole framework is on these small virtual private servers at Linode. One way that we're able to do that is that we've been very graciously, you guys, over the past, I don't remember when it started exactly, but you had a relationship with DreamHost going way back. That's where your initial site was when I first started, I think, right?
Yeah. I'm not sure when we started using DreamHost. It might have been back in 2000 or whenever we put up the first version of the static HTML site, which I think was right around then.
Yeah. DreamHost has been around a while. and that's exactly the thing about DreamHost, is that their servers aren't flexible enough to handle a lot of what we're doing with these newer technologies. They're hosted web versions or web hosting. I think DreamHost also has virtual private servers, but I've just been using Linode for so long and they've been really stable and really good about keeping us up and running, and their machines are in a data center in Newark, and so especially anywhere around the East Coast is really fast, and since that's where most of our traffic is, it makes sense. But with the web hosting that we do get from DreamHost, they have a because you guys are a nonprofit, you guys have a great relationship with them, and so now what I've done most recently, well, just before we launched the new free103.9.org and transmissionarts.org, I moved all of our, we had already started doing this actually about a year and a half ago when we did the wgxc.org website, but we've moved pretty much all of our media, our audio files, our images, our video and PDFs, etc., over to DreamHost, and those are being served up directly from the servers at DreamHost. We're using DreamHost as our media servers.
Right.
And what that does is make it so that we have storage over there. We can keep a lot of stuff over there and store things there, and keep the web application side of things, the Elasticsearch database and index, and our Node.js dynamic website, very cleanly separated from this mass of media that we have. So we allow the DreamHost servers to do what they do well, which is serve up, which is, directly serve those media files to your browser, the images and everything else that I mentioned. And then we allow our VPS to really focus on searching the data, pulling back what we need, and creating the pages that get presented to you.
Well, it's all very impressive, and we're incredibly lucky that you've been willing to keep working with us for so many years.
Oh, yeah, it's a labor of love. I really do enjoy. You guys have been like the best client, and I really enjoy the challenges that this kind of that these kind of applications present. I think what we're doing is really excited. I've talked about it at various library conferences and that kind of thing, and especially once we fully migrate to this Elasticsearch and Node.js, I'll be spreading the news more in some web development because we really are on the cutting edge as far as some of these technologies go, and I think a lot of other people would be excited to see what we've done.
That sounds great. And if for someone who's like in this world, there are forums online where you're documenting the work that you're doing. Is that right?
Yeah, well, a lot of the work that I'm doing gets documented just by putting the source up on GitHub. GitHub.com, for those who are not web developers, is like Facebook for computer programmers. It's a big kind of social space to put up your projects, anything that's open source that you can share with other people. It's very makes it very easy and encourages the sharing of all of the code that you're working on and allows other people to see it. Every file of code that is on our websites is up on GitHub, so if anybody wanted to say, know how we were doing this particular part of the website, how are you compiling your templates, or how are you sending back and forth between the DreamHost servers and the Linode servers, I can point them at the source code. Where that's being done on GitHub, can point them at that website, and they can see exactly what's happening. And
So
then,
someone could literally go to GitHub, GitHub.com, and search for Free 103.9 or for Gabe Farrell and find what you're working on or items specific to our site, right?
yeah, it'd probably be under Gabriel Farrell. That's what I
Gabriel
tend
Farrell.
to do in print, but. You can call me Gabe in person, that's fine. Yeah, and Free 103 GitHub has allowed us to organize well because they have what's called organizations, where Free 103.9 is its own organization on GitHub, and that's allowed you and I to discuss issues with the sites and have a better project management framework as well.
Yeah, that worked well.
Yeah, and I hope it will continue to work well as we continue on these projects.
So, have we left any really critical information out?
I'm sure we have. I'm
Well,
sure there's
this
always
is a good
so many.
start.
There's always so many parts and pieces to these projects that and that's what keeps me working on them, and what keeps me excited about them is because there's always more to learn. There's always another little piece. I mean, one small example is setting up these media servers at DreamHost. You get into some really difficult technical issues that big internet companies like Facebook get into all the time, as far as when you're sending your when you or your staff at Free 103.9 want to upload a new video, we don't want to upload it through one server and into another server, because that would be a lot more bandwidth just passing stuff around. So we need to figure out a way to upload a video or a large audio file directly to the DreamHost servers. And that in itself is a really interesting technological challenge. But that's the kind of stuff that I like to do.
Well, I think we should maybe talk again after our admin side goes live. And I think this also needs like a visual slideshow with it. Maybe we'll post it with the archive on the website, because I think it'd be useful to show people as examples as we're talking.
Yeah,
so maybe we consider this part one, but a very useful part one.
at least a list of all the links that we've been talking about.
Exactly. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for taking the time, Gabe, and thanks to anyone who stuck with us and listened. And I guess we'll say to be continued.
Yeah, thank you so much. That's
All right.
it's useful for me to even talk about it, because it's a big system, and just explaining it makes it more clear to everyone, I think.
All right. Well, thanks, Gabe.
Thank you.